Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And today we have Dr. Sharon Stills with us. And before we hit record, I have to just tell the audience, we were gushing over Dr. Stills because we have looked for years for that female doctor whose really specialty is women's health to really break through the noise and misinformation and conflicting information around women's hormones. Can I get a hallelujah, girls? Like, and it's been so great on social media. If you're in your 40s or 50s, the algorithm has probably found you, and suddenly you're getting all this information about hormones and perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, whatever pause you're in. And some of it is very helpful because it's talking about nutrition. It's talking about, you know, how to get sleep and do things that are going to really help you with the hormone support. And some things are just downright scary where women are just, I mean, listen, I love this one lady that's on social media who said she's the We Do Not Care Club.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Yes. I love her because there is something about getting older that is empowering when you go, I just don't care about anyone's opinions anymore. But I don't want to get to the point, Dr. Stills, where I'm like, I don't care about what I look like. I don't care about anything, right? And I think sometimes when you are battling the hormonal issues, women are having these hot flashes, not sleeping at night. The do not cares probably really do get far and wide. And I want to keep my do not cares to the things that really don't matter, but I want you to take care of me, right? Okay, so we are so, I don't even remember how Kristen even found you, but we've been consuming your content ever since. And we are so delighted. You are joining us from Scottsdale, Arizona, where you are building a huge 7,000 square foot clinic right now to do the very thing you're going to give our listeners information on today. But without further ado, thank you for joining us. And will you start with your story? Because we actually think your story was what made us love and trust you first. So can you tell people, how did you get here into this space?
Sure. Hi. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like it's like coffee chat with the girls, and I love that. So, gosh, my story. There's different pieces of it. So if you just want my hormonal story, I can tell you that. So I went to naturopathic medical school to be a pediatrician, actually, because I was trying to figure out my eldest son's health issues. And that was a long time ago because he's Dr. Ben. And so he's now practicing alongside me in our new clinic.
We've seen Dr. Ben.
And so long story short, though, when I opened up my first clinic, I had always suffered with really bad hormone issues. I had PMS from, like, you don't want to know, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. I would be so bloated, so miserable. People would ask me if I was like, when's the baby due? That's how bloated I would be. And it would be like mortifying, like for me, for them, for it was just not a good scene. And so, but I just kind of like trudged along, and then I got into practice. And then a woman in menopause, and I was in my early 30s back there, so menopause was not on my brain. It wasn't something we focused on in naturopathic, even in naturopathic medical school. And she came in with this book from Suzanne Summers. And I was like, you know, I grew up watching Three's Company. I was like, that's the dumb blonde from TV. I was like, oh, interesting. And now she's giving medical advice. But I have a really open mind. And so I was like, give me the book and let me read it. And I read it and I was like, oh, she actually isn't so dumb after all. This makes a lot of sense. And plus putting on what I know as a physician and from all my studies in Europe about terrain-based biological medicine, I was like, I can even make this better for women. So I said yes to the patient who brought it to me. I gave her bioidentical hormones. Her husband sent me flowers. The husband, Dr. Still's fan club was begun because we were talking about, you were mentioning men before we came live and I was laughing to myself because I constantly, in appointments or if I'm on a Zoom call, I constantly have the husbands in the background. I love you, Dr. Stills. Thank you. Giving me back my wife. So that happened. And then like the old Pert commercial, if you remember that shampoo where she told two friends and she told two friends and she told two friends, that started happening. And the next thing I knew, I had this menopausal bioidentical hormone practice back in the early 2000s when the Women's Health Initiative had just come out and, you know, misinformed everyone and made everyone afraid of hormones. And I saw right through that. And now 20 plus years later, people are starting to wake up, but I never stopped prescribing hormones. And I thought, I need to practice what I preach. Like I felt really out of alignment because I was watching all these menopausal women who are decades older than me and they're aging backwards before my eyes. They're feeling amazing. And I'm like wearing this tent dress because I'm so bloated because I'm getting my period in 2 weeks. So I started implementing what I was doing with them because it's never too early. It's never too late. It's always the right time. And so I started implementing my own hormone supplementation and treating my lymph and my liver and all the things I teach women to do. And then my PMS, that was like some women have PMS for a day or two, which that's not okay either. It's common, but it, you know, just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. But my PMS was weeks. It was like I would bleed, I would have a few good days of the month, and then I would just go into PMS for weeks. And so it was really awesome to not be dealing with that anymore. And then when I went through my own menopausal transition, it was like because I had pre-gamed and because I had paid attention to my hormones, I never had a hot flash. I never had any symptoms. And I love being in menopause. I think it's like, you couldn't pay me enough to like say, we can make you 20 again. Yeah, like, thank you. No, thank you. And so there's a lot to be said for aging. I used to call myself an anti-aging doctor because that's like the term that everyone uses. But I stopped. Now I'm a pro-aging doctor because, first of all, why be against something that there's no way you're going to win, right? It's the human condition. We're all aging. There's nothing you can do to stop it. So you might as well get on board, support the process, enjoy the process, embrace the process. There's a lot to be said for aging and the wisdom and the beauty and the freedom and all the things that come with it. So that's a little bit of my hormone story.
Well, we loved it. Like Kristen and Amy and I were talking earlier about just how the fact that when that patient came in and showed you the beautiful Suzanne Summers, Chrissy from Three Step, giving, you know, medical advice, which I think, you know, again, this is the piece where so many doctors, their refusal to listen to anyone outside of their field or their, and is has hurt them because there are things we are constantly learning from other people's experience, right? It's just like you, yes, you're a physician, but you're also a woman who was going through terrible PMS and you figured out how to help you through PMS. And you could have done that even not as a physician. You could have seen someone like you or read from someone like you and gone, oh, I need to look at my lymph. I need to look at my liver. I need to look at these things. And not, I'm not discounting doctors in any way. I'm very grateful for them. But I am saying we are in this new age of people realizing it's time to get educated on my body. It's time to learn what my body needs. It's time to give my body what it needs. And I think there's a real awakening that's happening. And I think Kristen and Amy and I were saying, we're so happy that we're alive today with people like you, Dr. Stills, that can just say, hey, let me help you through this next phase. Because 20, you know, when my mom was going through this, there was nothing. She took black cohosh and she swore that that helped her. And she exercised outside every day. And she said, whatever I'm doing, I'm cruising through. And she did well. But now when I ask her things like, you know, about a month ago, I am 50. I feel 25, except I had a week. I had a week, Dr. Stills, where I think it was probably around the time my cycle was due. I ended up not having that period and wanted to murder everyone in my home. I mean, it was like, I was so on edge and I hated me too. Like, so it's one of those things where you're like, I don't even like me right now. So no one else should either. And then also couldn't sleep, just never was getting into a deep REM sleep, was getting not hot flashes like from the inside out, but definitely feeling like when I would go to bed at night, like, do I have too many covers on me? Like my temperature was up. And anyway, after 1 week of that, I said, no, I am not doing this. I made my naturopathic appointment. I'm getting all the blood work done. I'm going to do the P test. We're going to get you to tell us about. But I just decided that now I have felt great ever since because I did figure out a few things I needed to change. But I will say it is a journey and we need this help because none of us want to fight this. And as you say, none of us should. Right?
And I want to throw in there, like, it's kind of one of those things, just like how Amy had pointed out, you know, how excited we are that we actually have this knowledge and we can be empowered with this. And just like you said, we're not going to avoid this, you know, let's like learn how to lean into the suck. I remember hearing that on a train from someone saying, I think it was Katie Wood saying, lean into the suck. Like, let's figure out how to do this and embrace it and be empowered through the process. And I just wanted to make the point. I hope y'all really realize one of the main reasons that we love you so much is not just the way you present and share your information, but your story. Like, our whole premise of the podcast is for people to just think. And so even with that Women's Health Initiative, you know, all that crap that came out, and Dr. Peter Attia just said something on the Huberman, I think I sent that to y'all on the podcast, saying it's like the biggest, most horrible, how did he put it?
Travesty
in the medical field, like maybe ever. And you just said, I'm not listening to that, because you thought, you kept your critical thinking skills, and not even just critical thinking, it's like common sense. And so, and this is what happened, like people just like let their brains go out the window. And I think it's also pretty freaking impressive. Most doctors, they won't even read a scientific study that you bring to them that may share about a repurposed drug or something else. But definitely they're not going to read a book by Suzanne Summers. So, I mean, that just shows how open her mind is, y'all. And she was willing to do this, and look at what she learned. I just think that says so much about you. So I just wanted to at least.
Well, I do want to know, Dr. Sills, how did you know when that came out? I remember when it happened in early 2000s, I want to say, where, you know, we thought we were onto something, and then all of a sudden they put the brakes on it because they said women were going to have heart attacks and cancer. How did you know differently? And then obviously you have had this beauty of treating women for the last 20 years where many weren't. Talk to us about how you knew, and then what you've seen in that 20 years for those patients that did listen to you and did take those bioidenticals.
Well, how did I know? I mean, studies are often misinterpreted. They're put together by the powers that be or the pharmaceutical companies because they're trying to drive home their point to sell more drugs. So I'm always questioning. I mean, even in a well put together study, they're not accounting for your diet, your emotions, your energy, your circadian rhythm, all the important things they don't account for. So I always take that into an account. But one, they were dealing with synthetic hormones, and I don't use synthetic horse urine hormones. I use bioidentical. Two, if it was really true that hormones caused cancer, then when a woman, say, was pregnant, when her hormones are insanely elevated, we would see a lot of cancer or heart disease. And of course, we don't. We see cute little babies being born. So it just didn't track and it didn't make sense. And the interesting thing is that when you really dig into it, that it was the progestins. It was the synthetic progesterone, because progestin and progesterone is like a whirl, you know, it's apples and monkeys. It's not even apples and oranges, so far apart. And so it was the progestins that were causing the problem. And the interesting, mind-blowing to me, weird thing is that the synthetic estrogen from the pregnant horse urine actually showed a cancer, breast cancer reduction. And that's pretty interesting to me because I would never prescribe that. I mean, even horses who are not pregnant don't have those hormones in their urine. It's specific to pregnant horses. And those hormones from the pregnant horses have been shown to cause DNA damage. So even with all that, they still showed a reduction in cancer. And our hormones, I was thinking about that this morning, that we've really vilified hormones, because if you're deficient in vitamin A or vitamin D or vitamin B, like, we think nothing about taking a vitamin to supplement, which often we need to do because of our soil depletion and the stress and the EMFs and all the things we're dealing with nowadays. But when our hormones get depleted, then it becomes this whole thing about, I don't want to take hormones and I'm natural and they're dangerous and they're going to hurt me, when the whole time these hormones have been orchestrating your health, because we were led to believe that hormones are important for women to have a period, to get pregnant, and then to endure hot flashes and the misery of menopause. And our hormones are involved in everything from the external skin, hair, nails, to the internal bone health, muscle health, brain health, artery health, breast health, gastrointestinal health, genitourinary health, lung. I mean, they are involved in everything. And so what we see is a predominance of dementia and breast cancer and cardiovascular disease and osteoporosis and all these chronic illnesses happen when our hormones crash, not when we have hormones. So, and I agree, travesty is a good word, because it really derailed women for decades. And I see women now in my practice that are in their 70s and they have been suffering for 2 decades. And they've been told, you're too old, you missed the window, there's nothing we can do for you, it's just getting old, you have to suffer. And I balance their hormones and give them their lives back. And that's really beautiful and fun to see. And then there's this real sadness in me that's like, 2 decades of suffering. Like, how horrific, and how did we allow this to happen? And so, to answer your other question, what do I see? Because I do, I have patients who have been with me. I'm in my 24th year of practice. And so I have patients who've been with me from the beginning, from the book, from the, and, you know, who knew my kids when they would hang around my office when they were 6 and 8 or 7 and 8 or 10 years old. And now they're being treated by Dr. Ben, or my other son runs my office. So they're discussing their vagina with my other son and what's going on. And so it's this real full circle experience. And so what do I see? I see these women who have their faculties, who are living full lives, who are having awesome sex and orgasms, and are traveling and are strong and are raising their grandkids and just really, really fulfilled in their 70s, 80s. And so that's what I pay attention to. A lot of people like poo-poo anecdotal evidence, but to me, what I see in clinical practice is that takes the cake. That's what's most important, because that's what's happening in the human body, in the terrain. And so I see beautiful things.
And the anecdotal evidence is so compelling to me, because we, like you mentioned, studies can be manipulated to get a desired outcome. Whereas the anecdotal, when you have a doctor treating patients over 20 years, you know, Dr. Paul Thomas is a good friend of us, and he was talking about treating his patients over decades and seeing differences in their treatments and their outcomes. You have to pay attention to some of that, because there is something there that, if there's a common thread, why don't we pay a little more attention to what that common thread is and then investigate that, rather than trusting every bought and paid for study that's ever been done by people we can't always trust, right? Because you can't, well, unfortunately.
I think as a naturopathic physician, we're, you know, we are the the OG of root cause medicine. And so I'm not as concerned with studies. I mean, I pay attention, but what I'm concerned with is your anatomy, your physiology, your biochemistry, and how it's expressing itself in your body. I'm concerned with your emotions, with your energy, with your lifestyle, with your community, with your joy or lack thereof. And so those are the things, your diet, your sleep, your movement. Those are the things that really go into the blender and then blend up and express good health. And so a random study, you know, that's not going to be the guiding decision. And yes, I love data. I love, you know, I do a lot of testing and looking at labs, but ultimately, like when it comes to thyroid, because this is just a huge mishap out there. So many women are told your thyroid's fine. Just this week alone, I think I've had four patients, that new patients who came to me and the same story. And I'm like, I just want to bang my head against the wall. And they saw holistic or integrative physicians who told them your thyroid is fine. And then I look at the numbers and I'm like, your thyroid is anything but fine. And I look at them and they're like the poster child for low thyroid. They're gaining weight. They're not sleeping. They're depressed. They're constipated. They're cold all the time. Their hair is falling out. Their joints ache. And it's like, so even if their thyroid looked good, if you present with all these symptoms, I'm going to go, well, yeah, it looks good on paper, but obviously good on paper is not good enough for you. So let's explore. Let's go on a journey. Let's do a trial run. Let's see how your body responds, because of the four of us here, we all have different needs. We all respond differently. And a free T3 of 4.2 may be perfect for me, and you may need one outside the range of 5.6. And so we really have to have open minds and really pay attention. You know, I think that's why they call it the art and practice of medicine, because there is an art to it as well as the scientific and the data, and it really needs to be merged.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this. I want to, because I know we've got women who are like, okay, I get her. I believe that she's got some answers for me. So let's talk about it. When a woman, let's just say, and even we know that I think now perimenopause, you can start having symptoms into your 30s. But let's say this 45-year-old woman comes into your practice and she's like, I'm not well. I don't know what else going on.
She's bloated. She's bloated.
Amy's like, talk to me about bloated, because I can help there. So let's say she's bloated. She's feeling a little ornery. She's just knows that something hormonally is changing. Her sex drive is down. So when a patient walks in, what are some things that you're looking for and advising her just with initially to start getting her moving in the right direction?
So everyone is different, and perimenopause is definitely, I call it the magical mystery time, you know, the magical mystery bus of being a woman and hormones, because things are changing and your estrogen is on a roller coaster, and it could be high, it could be low. But there are standard things, like often a woman who's perimenopausal and having bloating is going to be deficient in progesterone. And along with that is going to probably be a thyroid issue. And then that ties into an adrenal issue. So there's this like trifecta of adrenals, which are not always elevated. I think on social media, all we hear is you have high cortisol and it's ruining your life. But I can tell you, when I test, most women have low cortisol, not high cortisol. And the treatment is very different. And so that's why I am a real stickler for testing, because if we shouldn't guess, because we can guess wrong. And so getting the testing done and getting it done properly And so there's different ways. There's even different labs that I trust versus labs that I don't trust. And so there's a lot going into evaluating a patient, but I'm listening to her. I mean, bloating can be from low stomach acid. It can be from sluggish bile flow. It can be from eating the wrong diet. It can be from eating the right diet, but eating at the wrong time of day. It can be from eating the right foods, but eating in a sympathetic state rather than a parasympathetic state. So there's so many pieces. So an initial appointment, I'm really like going from like, you know, pre-birth, like, what do you remember about being in the womb to, you know, right this day and getting as much information, because you never know, like you can never say too much because you never know what's going to crack the case open for me and be like, ah, that's the window we need to open and go explore first, because that's going to be the biggest bang for our buck and take care of the most things. And often, and yes, so hormonal issues, and I said this before, but I'm going to say it again a little differently. If you have had problems conceiving or carrying a birth, if you have hormonal acne, migraines, fibroids, PCOS, ovarian cysts, PMS, any kind, heavy bleeding, not enough bleeding, irregular cycles, like any of these things, even if you're a teenager, these are signs that your hormones are off. And you want to, as I was saying in my story, I pre-gamed, you want to pre-game, you want to get this handled, because it's only going to compound, it's only going to make your hormones more of an issue as you age. And then yes, menopause is going to be like, ugh, it's not going to be fun. You're going to be, you know, hormonal havoc. And so it's important we recognize these things and get help early so that we don't have to suffer and our hormones can be our friends, not our enemy. So I think that's really important that we, and that perimenopause can start in your 30s. And most women in their 30s are not thinking of, I mean, I probably wouldn't have been thinking about it either had I not been treating this whole load of menopausal women. And so it seems kind of weird. Like I still want to have babies and now you're telling me, but perimenopause just means the time. It could be 10 years, it can be 15 years before menopause. And often it starts earlier when you have some of those conditions or you have hormonal imbalance prior. So I view symptoms from the body as sacred messengers. It's your body going, hello, please pay attention to me. Something's out of balance here. I'm calling you on the phone, please pick up. And so it doesn't mean you're going to go into menopause in the next 3 years. It just means you need to have some balance. And does that, what you were explaining sounds like you had an anovulatory cycle and you didn't produce progesterone. And when we don't produce progesterone, we feel it, because progesterone, contrary to what everyone says, diamonds are not a girl's best friend. Progesterone is.
Oh, miserable. It was so, it's like, who does this? This is crazy. And I feel like I'm a very resilient, tough person. But after days of it, Dr. Sims, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, no, I know this isn't normal. I know this actually isn't the way it has to be. So what do I need to do to right the ship? Well, let me ask you this. Okay. So you're going to see women with a variety of histories, lifestyles, nutrition, experiences that are all going to culminate into where they are the moment they walk into your office. But in general, for women that are in their, what they feel like is possibly their perimenopausal phase, but let's be honest, even before, because like you said, you want to prepare, you want to pregame for all of this. What is the lifestyle that you are suggesting? And a general, like things to really think about and do to navigate this season of life, you know, as well as you're doing it, where you love it and you wouldn't trade it for anything.
Gratitude. Gratitude, yeah. for this life, for the gift of life, for getting another day to be present, because aging is a privilege and not everyone gets to age. And so really having that turnaround, sleeping like it's your superpower and non-negotiable. and not, oh, just one more Netflix show or one more email or one more load of laundry or one more page in the book, that sleep really sets the stage for how we feel. Now, and I can talk more lifestyle, but if you're not sleeping and it's because your hormones are low, then you can spray the lavender spray, you can take the Epsom salt bath, you can wear your blue blockers, you can turn off the Wi-Fi, you can all the things and still not be able to sleep. And so I'm a very hormone forward physician. So there's a lot out there. Some is good noise, some is misleading, confusing noise. And there are a lot of people who say, don't fix your hormones. You need to detox your mold. You need to clean up your gut. You need to get rid of the environmental toxins. You need to eat wild salmon and organic blueberries. And yes, those are all important things potentially. But as women whose hormones are going out of whack, balancing the hormones first is what I do, because if you're not sleeping and you're like, I'm going to take magnesium glycinate and I'm going to take theanine and I'm going to take valerian, but you're not sleeping because you have no progesterone, like you're not going to supplement your way out of what you really need. And so what I find is when I balance the hormones, that the laundry list of chief complaints, maybe there was 10 things, literally all 10 can go away. Or it can go down to one or two, or they can all significantly improve and we still need to do a little tweaking. So if there's a hormonal imbalance, I do the hormones first while teaching about the lifestyle piece. And that's, I think, really important because I see so many women suffering. Well, I'm still cleansing my parasites. And I was told not to do hormones. I'm like, no. You know, we can do hormones and cleanse our parasites. It's quite all right. And so, and it depends. Like in a younger girl, if someone is 18 or 22 and they're not producing progesterone, I may not go right to the bioidentical hormone because I want to give their body a chance. Because at 22, you really should still be producing progesterone. So I'm going to look and see, is she pulling through because she's got a lot of stress and it's all turning into cortisol. So it's pulling through that pathway. Is her lymph not moving? So the progesterone's not getting to the cellular receptor sites. Are the cellular receptor sites clogged and do they need to be scrubbed so the hormone actually can have a reaction and get into the cell? Does she just need a little support? Like maybe she needs some Vitex, which is an herb, which encourages. So I'm looking at different things. By the time you get to be perimenopausal, definitely menopausal, where your ovaries have, I always say, like they've peaced out. They're going on a permanent vacation and they're done. They've done their job. Then trying to do that with all these other things to me is a waste of time and just lengthens your suffering. And we just start on the bioidentical hormones because it's the one thing. First of all, menopause is not a disease process. And so it's a natural transition that everyone, every woman is going to go through. You're not escaping it. And so it's the one area, because as a naturopathic physician, like if all of us here had say migraines and you all came to see me, you would all have different treatment protocols because you might have migraines because you have food sensitivities. You might have migraines because your fascia is tight and your neck's out of alignment. You might have migraines because of emotional things or a B vitamin deficiency. Maybe it's hormones. It can be a million different things. So there might be some overlap, but like all my patients have different protocols. But when it comes to menopause, the root cause is that your ovaries have retired and you need the hormones replaced. So there's a lot of overlap. in the supplements I'm recommending, because we all need receptor site support. We all need liver support. We all need to make sure our bile's flowing. We need to make sure our microbiome is happy. And we all need bioidentical hormones. Now, you may need 200 milligrams of progesterone, and I may only need 150, and you may need 800 milligrams. So there's differences, but there's a lot of where I find myself, it's like, no, this is a blanket statement, which is not what I'm used to saying. I'm used to being, everyone is different, everyone has different reasons. So there is a lot of overlap. And so that's kind of, you know, even in the lifestyle, a lot of it is listening to a patient and really seeing, because it might be beliefs. It might be, you know, back in the day when we got our periods, we went to the red tent and we all hung out together and we kind of got to call in sick and not be participating and nurturing ourselves. And now we're just go, 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 go. There's no red tent. There's no slowing down. And sometimes our hormonal imbalances are just that we're out of balance in our life. We're out of balance in our connection to our feminine. We're too in our masculine. We're out of connection with the external environment. We're not in nature. We're not eating seasonally. We're not getting morning sunlight. We're not watching the sunset. We're not getting our feet on the ground. We're in really bad artificial lighting at the wrong time of the day. We're addicted to our phones. We're being bombarded by invisible toxicity, as well as, you know, glyphosate and mercury and all the things. And so sometimes it's just, and sometimes we don't really feel good about aging. And so we're like subconsciously fighting it. And so there's a lot of pieces that go into looking at how do we find balance, because not everyone is going to hear, oh yeah, I love aging and it's amazing, and be like, yeah, I'm on board. Like, we still have to deal with our beliefs and what we've been told, and clearing out societal reasoning. And we, you know, my Aunt Betty and my mom hated it and had horrible menopausal experiences. So we're like already expecting this is the beginning of the end. This is going to be a horrible experience. And I always say we don't have to have our mama's menopause. And we have this really unique time with all the knowledge we have, with utilizing bioidentical hormones, among other things, to change the aging process, to change what is viewed as aging. And so there's like this 97-year-old woman who's doing gymnastics and she's viral on Instagram, right? Because everyone's like, oh my God, she, you know, 97-year-old granny, great granny. And look at her flipping, and like, we're all freaking out. But that should be the norm. I want to just see that and it not go viral because it's so weird. And so we have that power to do that. We are biologically built to live to at least 120. And if you throw in some other practices, like I'm really big on Prolon and water fasting mimicking diet and enhancing autophagy, I upped mine to like a 130, because that's going to help me take 10 years off my off my biological age. And so those things should be the norm. We can change that. We can change the aging process. I think about my granddaughters, and they're never like, oh, Bubby, you're too old to do that. Or they're just like, get down. We're climbing on your back. You're our horsey. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But you even,
think what you're saying too, though. And really, you gave a bunch of nuggets in there. Yeah, I hope you love attention to the nuggets that you gave about things to be doing as your baseline. Right? Putting your feet in the grass, morning sunlight, watching the sun, like all those things are so, I think people, it's not normalized enough. And what you're saying is we've normalized the wrong things. We've normalized that you're going to feel like garbage and this is just part of it. And your grandmother's felt like garbage and your mother's felt like garbage. So you should too. And what we're finding is no, No. And also, there's a lot of things that have transpired the last 50 years that I think have also impacted our hormones, which is environmental things and food quality things that are also, because we know the gut and hormones are very connected as well. And so there's a lot going on out there, but you bring this, you're a hope dealer, Dr. Stillsbury. You're like, no. This whole aging process is to be championed, is to be enjoyed, and it's to be done well. And let me ask you this. So bioidentical is where bioidentical hormone replacement therapy is what you really specialize in. And so my question to you is, and I can just use me as an example. Is there ever a time where you're hesitant or you have to change your protocol with the bioidenticals? And this is why I'm asking. I have MTHFR, the genetic mutation that what 40% of women do have. And when I was pregnant in 1998, I got blood clots at 36 weeks at DVT. And I was very active. I did have a desk job, but I was a runner. I ran up to like 35 weeks of my pregnancy, not telling people to do that. But I was just, I'm a very active girl. And so I was like young and like, hey, I'm going to just keep taking care of myself. Anyway, my sister, 10 years later, same thing happened. So there was a genetic component. They did not test. Back then, they tested for what's called factor five. Leiden, I think, is what, you know, where they're looking for very known clotting disorders, lupus, all kinds of things. I tested negative for everything. Later, MTHFR started making sense. I'd had multiple miscarriages between my boys. And those are some characteristics of having some of those genetic mutations. And so then I get excited about bioidentical because I'm like, well, this sounds natural, right? It's not from a horse urine. It's like, this is kind of putting back into my body what I need. But what is it fine for me to do that with that history? Some people say no, some people say yes. What's been your experience with that?
It's totally fine. Okay. So let me see if I can like power through some of the common myths and misconceptions. Yes. So it would not be fine for you to take oral estrogens, even oral bioidentical. So okay. You want to take them. And a lot of people do hormones transdermally, like here or here. So I don't do them that way. We do them transmucosally because when you do hormones transdermally, they start to get stuck in the fat cells and they stop reaching the cellular receptor site. So we do transmucosal, which is to the external labia, and that makes a huge difference. You can use less and get more of a bang. You don't want to use pellets. Pellets overdose you. They get inserted. You have no control over them. And being a control freak over the dosing of your hormones is not the worst thing in the world because sometimes you need a little less, sometimes you need a little more. And the way I prescribe them in separate syringes, we have that ability to go, oh, sounds like you need a little more estrogen right now, you know, up it to a quarter of a mil instead of an eighth of a mil or whatever. So that's important. Pellets are a no-no. They can be very toxic. They stress the liver. So that's a hard no in my book. So there's a lot of noise out there that estriol is not what you want and you want to use an estradiol patch and it only matters about estradiol. That's the only important estrogen. And that's definitely not true. So you get what you look for. If you look in the blood, you can see estradiol levels. And estriol has a very short half-life and you don't really see it in the blood. And so you have to look in the right place. And the right place is in a 24-hour wet urine. There's a lot of promotion from people and they say to do a dried urine test, which is not accurate. You're just getting four simple samples of dried urine. There's a lot of mistakes that happen. Urine is wet, so you don't need it dried. And that was kind of created because they were like, well, this is going to be easier for women and women can't collect their wet urine for 24 hours. I'm like, seriously, women can do hard things. We certainly can collect our urine for 24 hours. Thank you very much. And so collecting your urine is gold standard for the 24 hours because you get to go through a whole day of the circadian tides and the fluctuations of your hormones. And so it's the best way to evaluate. And so it's really important how you look. You don't want to look in the saliva. You don't want to look in the blood. And I'm not saying blood work is bad, because I do a lot of blood work for a lot of things. But when it comes to hormones, you're going to get a better understanding. You're going to get to see the metabolites, because so estrogen causes cancer. Estrogen is dangerous. I can't take estrogen. I have a history of blood clots. My aunt had cancer. I had cancer. I have cancer. And so we've been taught to fear, but that is really lazy medicine, because just in our 24-hour wet urine test, we're checking 3 different estrogens and we're checking 5 different estrogen metabolites. So that's 8 different forms of estrogen, because we're not checking estrogen. There is no estrogen. There's estrone, estradiol, estriol. There's different metabolites. And just like if you had 8 children, they all have very unique and different personalities. And so do the different estrogens, and so do the metabolites. So estriol, which is E3, actually hits the beta receptor sites. And the beta receptor sites are like the brake. They're anti-inflammatory. They say, whoa, slow down. And so it's actually something I use to treat active cancer. And so estrone, which is E1, hits the alpha receptor sites. That's the gas. That's the fuel that says grow. So it's lazy medicine to say estrogen causes cancer. 2-methoxyestradiol, one of the phase 2 metabolites, is another one that is very anti-cancer. It's anti-angiogenic. It is so helpful that, again, I compound that and use it for active cancer or to prevent cancer or to prevent recurrences. And mm-hmm. so if someone just tells you you can't take it because of XYZ, like, they probably haven't really studied hormones. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who say they're hormone experts who aren't really hormone experts, but it's a cool thing to say. And so they say it. And
that's such a good
look. Yeah, that's like, that's where we all are, is like, we want to find that expert because we don't know who to trust out there. You know, because I know it's like where we live, and, you know, can we find someone local? How do we even go about that? Do we know they're using the right things and the right, and that's why it's just like, we want to, you know, what do we do?
Now we found our expert. Like, how the heck can we all come to you? Are you ready for us to bombard you? I'm ready to fill my jug. Like, give me my jug.
Well, a little hot here now in Arizona.
It's a little hot, but I think that is, so just to back this up. So I had gone to a functional medicine doctor. They do the pellets. I had just a gut feeling of like, hold on, I'm not ready to do this yet. I did get some lab work back. And to your point, I have my estradiol. Is that how you say it? Estradiol. I had that number. I very specifically remember that was off. And my sex bonding globulin number was off. Everything else looked normal, but I do not remember any specifics on any other estrogens in there. But my gut feeling on it, Dr. Stills, was like, I don't have peace about this yet because of my history with the blood clots. I just want to make sure I'm getting the right amount of, you know, whatever I'm deficient in. I want to get the right amount, but I don't want to get off balance and then create other havoc in my body. So it sounds like the way that you do this, and I'm prayerful that someone in North Carolina does it the same way, where you do, I guess it's more of an injection, right? Did you say in the labia? Is that right?
No? So it's not an injection. It's a cream. So I can run through real quick. So yeah. Like, estrogen is done as a biestrogen, but it could have a different ratio. So 80-20 is a starting dose. Which means 80% estriol, 20% estradiol. But some women need more estradiol. Like, it has to be monitored, but it's a cream to the external labia. Progesterone, we also do as a cream to the external labia, but also a oral compounded sustained release capsule, because that crosses the blood-brain barrier, and that's going to give you the mood and the sleep benefits. Testosterone also can be done as a cream, or we do it as a once in a week intramuscular, like into your butt injection. What do we, Oxytocin is, if you can find it without parabens, you could do it as a nasal spray. We've had a hard time compounding that way, finding someone to do it. So we do it as an oral drop now. So that's another thing. Just because it says it's bioidentical, you can't assume that it's good ingredients. Right. So I learned this. So when I said I started practicing in my early 30s and I'm treating all these menopausal women, and so they're getting stuff that I don't need. And one of my patients came in and she like took out her hormones to show me. And I was like, what the heck is that? Like, why is that orange? Why is that artificially colored? And so then I went on this whole rabbit hole journey of understanding and changing how I make my pharmacy compound for me, because the fillers, I'm really one of those girls who practice what I preach, and I'm super natural and all the things, but I'm also not like crazy. I used to be really crazy. It's really about balance, right? And so if you eat something that's unorganic once, it's not going to be the end of the world. It's what you do most of the time. So like, if you were like, well, I'm taking, because the bioidentical progesterone capsules that you're typically, if you have a more forward thinking OBGYN or primary, she'll give you Prometrium. And it's bioidentical, but it usually is in an orange capsule that's artificially colored. And it's the filler in it is peanut oil that I bet your bottom dollar it's not organic and it's rancid and it's GMO, right? So if you said you had to take that for a week, I'd be like, all right, you know, your body is strong. It can handle it. But if this is something you're going to take for the rest of your life, and bioidentical hormones to me are a for the rest of your life thing, because once you lose them, if you don't take them, you don't get the benefit. It's not like you can just take them for a year and now it's going to carry you through. Mm-hmm. So you have to be thinking about, like, we fill our progesterone capsules with acidophilus, which is beneficial bacteria for your gut. Benign, everyone can use it. So you have to really be thinking through, like, if this is bioidentical, what's in it and how is it compounded? So bioidentical is definitely better than synthetic. I am never a fan of birth control pill or IUDs with progestins and things. So I won't work with someone if they're on birth control pills, because it's just so opposite that you know, I have to help you get off of them, because I see too many things occur, like serious, whether it's cancer diagnosis or whatever, from heavy use of birth control pills, which are synthetic, which is really like, if you just go back to like the Women's Health Initiative, it's like they never stopped giving out birth control pills, and that's synthetic.
If anything, there's more. If anything, that was their treatment for bad periods, you know, it's like,
yeah, so that's...
Or put them on it just to start their period, like what they did for me, you know? And yeah.
Okay, so here you are in Scottsdale, Arizona. You are opening a practice. So for all of our Arizona listeners, you're in luck, because you have a really easy way to go see Dr. Stills. And I know you have a walkthrough in 5 minutes for that, so we're gonna wrap it up soon. But I do want to know... I know you do something, Kristen, I think you've looked into this too. You like kind of a summit, like a mastering menopause type thing that you've done. Can people plug into you virtually somehow?
Yes. So I am the host in collaboration with Dr. Tox of the Mastering the Menopause Transition Summit, which we just aired. So it was just last month. The year's going quick, but it was in July. And so it's probably still available. It's free when it airs, but you'd probably have to pay a small fee now to get access to it. But I'm always, a good thing to do is get on my email list, because that's how I communicate the most. I go on and off Instagram. I keep telling myself I'm going to go on more frequently. So I do that. But we communicate a lot through our email list. So you always know, I do a lot of free webinars and education for my community. And I'm always speaking on other summits or other stages and podcasts and things. The majority of my patients are from all over the globe. So women fly in from all over to see myself and Dr. Ben. And, you know, part of that's really great. And part of that's really sad, because there aren't a lot of good hormone doctors out there that I can say, go here, you'll be in good hands. So on our to-do list is to create professional training, but we are opening a like you said, a 7,000 square foot clinic here in the fall of 2025, which is right around the corner. And so we're a little distracted with that. And part of that is just because there's so many patients who need a place to come and heal. And so we're going to be offering ozone and EBU and everything from oxygen bathtubs to hypoxia training to the immortal chamber to yoni steaming to saunas and cold plunges and you name it. It's this big giant playground. And so if someone wants a second opinion, one of the things we've been doing is a test plus consult where you can do the 24-hour wet urine test and then hop on a Zoom call with myself or Dr. Ben and get your results. Because if you're on hormones, you can find out if they're metabolizing properly. If you're actually, like, a lot of times I see women who are on the patch, because the traditional thing from the more forward thinking doctors, like I was saying, is to give you an estrogen patch, which is only estradiol, and to give you Prometrium. And they forget about DHEA, and they forget about testosterone, and they forget about your adrenals, and they forget about your thyroid, and they forget about your oxytocin and your melatonin, and so on and so on. And so hormones really are a symphony, and the symphony all needs to be fine-tuned and playing together. So we can help you either to get baselines or to understand that the hormones you're taking are metabolizing to inflammatory pathways and that needs to be adjusted. Or, you know, every once in a while I get to say, looks like it's working for you. And I love those conversations. It's really fun to say to someone. But it's good to know, because again, I've had women who've been on hormones for 15, 20 years, and they're doing it because they want to protect their bones and their brain and their heart and all the big things we always talk about. And yes, their hot flashes are going away, but when I test them, their levels are not in the preventative stage. So it's like taking the edge off. They're feeling a little better, but they're not protecting their bones. And all this time they think they are. And that's, you know, that's not a fun conversation to have. But again, at least we can change it and move forward from a positive place.
Well, really quick. So like if one of us, if we did the 24-hour urine and had the second opinion Zoom call, like, and it was a baseline appointment, like, you know, I've never been on, I haven't started anything yet. Right. So if you were to say, okay, yes, this is what you would need, then the appointment, then we would have to come to you. Is that how that works?
The way we do it is we give you a report that if you're not going to come see us, that you can then go advocate for yourself. So we're like, from what you're seeing, your baseline is you need to start on estrogen, or you don't need estrogen, but you need progesterone. And we give details of the form and dose, and then other testing you might need and supplements to support your hormones. So we know that not everyone's going to end up flying out and becoming a patient, and we want to make it worth your time and so that it's going to help you on your journey. So if you're not coming, we still provide all that for you. So you now have a place from which to advocate and go to your doctor and say, this is what I want and this is why I want it.
Okay.
How do we get off? That's a good question. I could get you a link.
Okay.
Is that okay if I email you the link?
Yes, because I'll do a Substack and I'll send a link out and put your information and how to get on the email list too, but also if we can get that link too.
Okay. We're also in the middle of creating a group coaching where we're going to take women through where they'll get to do the test, but we also have a 12-week, like, in-depth with all the lifestyle and really teaching you about your adrenals, about your thyroid, about detox, about stress, about your nervous system, because hormones are important, but you can't, a lot of women just want to put hormones in their body and still eat Doritos. And
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly the point. It's like, we want to get that baseline where your habits are really helping you to start with. And then you can come in and give us what we're missing. from still trying to do the basics right.
Yeah. And you want, I always say you want to put hormones into a happy, healthy terrain. So you want to, so you can't, it's not hormones or, it's hormones and like yesterday I had someone who did the Test Plus consult with me and she had just retired and she was like, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure if I want to be retired. She was like questioning all this, but her hormones were tanked and had been most likely for a while. And I said, let's get your hormones balanced. And then let's revisit this conversation because you're going to, I've had women who were literally checking themselves into like the psych ward.
Yeah.
And just a couple of weeks on hormones and they're like, oh my God, I'm back. It's, I'm me again. I feel like me. And so it's really important to have that hormone balance before we make important decisions or before we, you know, decide we hate our husband or our partner or anything like that. And I, that is one of my intake questions. Like, do you still love your husband or do you want to like lock him in a closet and never see him again? Because that, it's important to know these things. And usually hormones.
The day.
Not true. But you know, like, you know, marriage, sometimes it is the day, but overall, do you want to still keep it? Yes.
Oh my gosh. This is awful. Oh my God.
Dr. you are just a breath of fresh air and you give us hope. And I, and now what we're going to do is put together a Substack with the links and the information to connect back to you. Because even if, and we know now a lot of the pushback we sometimes get is people say, my insurance doesn't cover. It's costly. It's this, it's that. Let me tell you, it's way more costly to be sick than it is to try to stay well. So try to just put aside money, a savings account to do the things that perhaps insurance doesn't cover. Because that's what we're doing. And I know that's what Christy and Amy's doing. We also advocate for crowd health, which can crowdsource your health with you. Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the Podcast Substack for more information.
But my point is to say, make this a priority so that you can go through every season of life strong and healthy and feeling good and navigating it as you're supposed to. It's not supposed to be this bad. It's
right.
I feel better now. I'm almost 57 and a half. And I feel better now than I felt in my 20s. And it just seems to keep getting better on every level. So, and if I'm no one special, you know, I've had my whole host of medical issues from childhood. So if I can do it, anyone can do it. I always say that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us, audience. Go check out Just Think the Podcast, the Substack, to get the links back to her and everything else you need to know. And we are here to walk the journey with you, to support you along the way, because we're doing it too. And we're all going to get through this better. Promise you that. All right. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you so much.